Good afternoon, everybody. It is episode 226 of the Newtown Big Dreams podcast. I'm your host, Luke J. Menkes. Today is June the 10th, 2021. It is 1:30 in the afternoon here on the West Coast. Today, I'm with Lynn Whitbeck. She is a sales trainer. She's a speaker. She's an author. And she is the founder and CEO of Petite to Queen and Future Forward Sales. Lynn helps the world by providing sales and leadership training programs and tools to achieve more faster. Lynn is also the co-author of a highly regarded great book called Practical Wisdoms at Work. It's a quick read, and it's got great insights to help you navigate situations, challenges, and opportunities that arise every day in business, no matter what business you're in. So today, we're going to talk about sales success secrets, leadership gumption and grit, resilience, which is the ultimate power skill, according to Lynn, and how to problem solve in a win-win situation. All about customer service, leadership, sales. It's a great conversation. Let's welcome Lynn Whitbeck to the show right after this.
Welcome to the Newtown Big Dreams podcast, an interview-style talk show that's your gateway to the fabulous and fascinating people who relocated to start a new life. Whether you're new to our podcast or your city, our fellow neighbors from across Canada, North America, and the entire English-speaking world share their stories of reaching new horizons and big dreams. So sit back and relax as we navigate in-depth and intimate conversations with entrepreneurs, thought leaders, executives, creatives, and anyone who can share their story about their Newtown big dreams. And now, here's your host, Luke J. Menkes.
Lynn, thanks so much for coming on the show today.
Oh, Luke.
I really appreciate it.
Yeah, it's a pleasure to be here. I'm so glad to be talking with you.
Awesome. Now, you're in a suburb of a suburb. Not too far from Seattle, right?
Yeah, not by how the crow flies. I'm in Mill Creek, Washington. And So that's, you know, north of Seattle. As you said.
Right. So you're pretty close to the Canadian border.
About a two-hour drive, about a two-hour drive to get up and to cross over the border, you know, just north of Bellingham there.
Oh, yeah. Great. So have you always lived in Mill Creek? And if not, tell us the story of how you got there.
I grew up in Wenatchee, Washington. You know, it's just sort of like that's on the other side of the state. And at some point, like when I was in grade school, my dad moved around quite a bit. I actually moved like six times in grade school because my dad's job moved him, and then he changed to a different job, and then he changed jobs again, type of thing. It was just, and then we bought a different house two different times, I mean, during this transition. So it was a little chaotic there. But, you know, one thing that was so cool, Luke, is that seeing that you are from Kelowna, it brought back this flood of memories because we would go to Kelowna every year for our summer vacation. I mean, every year from the time I was in grade school to high school and beyond. I mean, it was so fun, you know, and we would be meeting our friends. We had the same friends come from different parts of Canada that I'm still connected to after all these years. We had families come with us, so sort of rotated. Different types of families came with us, you know, sometimes a certain family came with us for years, and then they went through a divorce and they didn't come anymore, you know, that type of thing. But that actually happened twice. But we had these huge chunks where everybody was going up. And it was so much fun. I mean, I remember that I think it was like a Tasty Big Freeze or something truck that came to the resort, and we would get our ice creams every day, the water skiing on Lake Okanagan. It was just such a blast. And thank you for just, you know, for being there. So it brought back those warm memories.
That's awesome. Most of my friends and acquaintances in the United States have no idea about Kelowna. And I'm sure you'll agree it is a super beautiful spot.
It is.
And it's not very crowded. A lot of people don't know about it, so we're very lucky.
It is absolutely beautiful. And of course, you've got the famous Ogopogo, which is sort of like your Loch Ness. So that's yes. a lot of fun. But Lake Okanagan is gorgeous. It's a huge lake and wonderful boating, fishing, whatever you want to do out there. We water skied. We were, you know, hardcore water skiers. So we went up there with our boat, trailing the boat, and did the water skiing. Went up through Omak to get up to Kelowna.
Awesome. Well, I hope when the COVID lockdowns end, you'll come back soon. And that's awesome. It's really great to meet someone that's seen this place. So I want to talk to you about your business. And one of the things that you say is that we should think like our customers. Why should we do that? And how is that going to deliver powerful results?
Yeah. Well, thinking like your customer puts you in their shoes. I mean, ultimately, they're in the driver's seat. They're going to be making the decision. And if you don't frame what your product or service offers in those terms, it's what they want, need, or lack, you know, so that right. it benefits them so they can. Because people, what they really are buying is so they can, no matter what mm-hmm. product it is. You know, from an iPhone right. to a house, to a major software program for their business. It is always so they can. And that's when you can really tie into that. And that's the customer why. And then position your, you know, the types of lead magnets, your content that you provide, you know, the blog, your podcast, whatever it is that you're doing, webinars that you have, and you're answering those whys, that's where you're going to have a lot more traction. And of course, mm-hmm. throughout the sales phases, that why does change. And when you're selling big B2B programs and products, services, those sales, you have multiple decision makers. And the why for the different stakeholders is quite unique. And so it's very right. important to pay attention to that. So when you are in those big presentations, that you're touching on the whys of the different stakeholders, because otherwise they can become blockers and obstacles.
Yes, very true. Very true. So what do you think is the number one way that salespeople fail?
By not following up.
And how can you correct that?
Yeah. I mean, when the book that I'm working on called The Seven Deadly Sins of Sales is the number one way that people fail is by not following up. It's a really tough thing about not thinking like the customer and not following up, but it's really not following up. It's just amazing how many people, I mean, the statistics are shocking of how many salespeople follow up once and give up, you know, it is just. And the amount that never really go beyond a second follow up. And the other thing is they don't follow up effectively. It's like, oh, hey, Luke, I'm just checking in. Want to see how everything is going. And if you're ready to schedule that meeting so we can talk about X, Y, Z, right? I did right. the Canadian Z.
And that's woo-hoo! Not effective.
So anyway, so, yeah. but those are just lame. I mean, please stop doing that. When you do have a conversation, it's like, oh my gosh, we have this incredible new opportunity for you to look at a 4-part masterclass that is absolutely free on how to grow your business by leveraging guest podcasts. I am just so excited about what we've put together and how this is going to help you and make your business really get that traction that you need with your customers. Oh, Luke, by the way, this is Lynn Whitbeck with Future Forward Sales.
Right.
My number is blah, 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 blah. So you go fast and furious and then you slow down. You know what happens is most sales calls, they do the exact reverse. It's really slow and pedantic. And it's like, what the heck? Why am I listening to this? I just want it over. And then they finally say something you're interested in. And then they go through their name and phone number so fast that you're, by the time I've listened to something like four times, I'm going, they don't deserve my business if I can't have gotten this. So instead, you want to get that excitement and that passion out there up front and get them leaning into it because they can hear the smile and the energy in your voice. And then you slow down with the vital stats.
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Money is all around us, and we think about it more than almost every other aspect of our lives. But how can we make more of it, and what's our drive for building wealth beyond just the numbers in our bank account? Join us on the Make More podcast as our host, Matt Heslin, brings to you a dynamic lineup of experts in the world of investing, business, health, and beyond. Together, they unpack the secrets to not just surviving, but thriving in today's economy. It's about more than just wealth. It's about crafting life experiences, seizing opportunities, and building a legacy. Subscribe now to the Make More with Matt Heslin podcast and join us every week for new expert insights and inspiration.
Yeah, that is so much more effective. I think part of the reason I feel reluctant to follow up is because I don't always have something to say. So, and I agree with you when you say, hey, I'm just checking in. It's really lame. You know that you're bothering them before you even do it. And I think that's probably why psychologically in the past, I have resisted following up.
Yeah.
So you're saying be enthusiastic, be quick, and have something to actually offer.
Always
go. I'm just bugging you.
Always lead with value. And that's one of the reasons that just like in everything else, you know, planning is 80% of the sale, if not 90%. And when you have actually spent time to develop your sales strategy and figured out all the different ways that you're going to deliver value, that you're going to provide outreach, that you're going to do follow-up, the different formats, and in each one of those, answering their why. And people have different whys. And sometimes it's a hit or miss. You know, you're not quite sure what their why is until you can have those conversations to glean those. And as I said, the whys change along the sales journey. But when you've done that, then you have those materials that you can push forward. Even that's why being a guest on a podcast for business owners or executives is such a key piece, because you can actually provide value that you can give to your sales team so they can be communicating with their client. Oh my gosh, you know, Luke was just on this amazing podcast. He gave these insights into how to develop fusion rocket fuel for Mars, and you may want to tune in. Okay, I'm just making a sort of riffing on this, right? But the point is that once again, it's like, oh, you know, that's actually really intriguing. I've got a commute tonight. What that, you know, and it's like, oh, and I'm sending an email just so you have the link, so it's a quick click, right? And then it's like, oh yeah, I want to, you know, and I can tune into that, right? Click it from my iPhone email and get that podcast, and I can be listening to it on my drive to the soccer match, my drive to the grocery store, to my drive home, if you're actually going into the office at this point.
Right. So your upcoming book sounds really great. Seven Deadly Sins.
Of sales, yeah.
Seven Deadly Sins of sales, yeah. So you said that the biggest sin is not following up or following up in a poor manner. Can you tell us one or two others of these seven deadly sins?
Yeah, the client why is definitely one of the seven deadly sins. Another one is not spending the time to in your sales strategy to really map that out. Mm. Understand, you know, the different methods, the outreach, the communication, that whole piece, that's a big piece as well. Another piece is not delivering value. I mean, really paying attention, and remember that people interact with different formats. So that's why you may want to have, you know, a podcast, an article. So I have done podcasts on like how to grow your business by being a podcast guest. I've got the masterclass. We've got a great flow chart map of you know, these are the steps that you need to do before and after, right? We've got, I've written an article about it. I've been featured in another publication with an article about it. I mean, it's been republished and repurposed multiple times. Because people absorb things different ways. And even within that, we've answered some questions. So you take this one great piece of content and then you keep repurposing it and using it in different ways because people interact in all those different ways. So that's a great piece. And you're delivering that value. And they may not be a customer for you right now, but they will. They're going like, wow, this is really cool. I need to pass this along. Or, you know what? I just went through this whole thing and it was really good. You should talk to XYZ, right? So there I did the US version there. So it's a lot of fun. And so doing that. So those are some of the tips. I mean, there's, you know, like I said, it's a lot. Like, what are just the seven?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, those are some great ones already. So do you, Lynn, ever get weird or awkward questions? And if so, how do you respond to them?
Well, you just queued that right up, didn't you? So I actually have a formula for this called the pickle, because what's happened is you've been put in a pickle. And this happens throughout your career in life. Somebody asks you some really weird or off the wall question. And sometimes people do it really to see if they can, how you're going to respond and if they can get a rise out of you. Yes. I mean, it's one of those things that it's certainly a technique that interviewers will use, or people when you're looking to, you know, like your boss could do to see how you're going to react and they're considering promoting you. A client could do that, or a stakeholder who's a little bit aggressive.
Right.
So it comes up a lot. And that pickle formula is you want to pause, right? And you want to remember that this is another human being. It doesn't matter why they ask this question. You just got to let that all go. And instead, you want to respond in a really positive manner in the best ability that you have. And so I've got a whole acronym for the pickle. And we actually have that on our website, and I'm sure you can provide that link to everyone. And I've got a little quick video explaining it, but it's nice to be able to remember that acronym. Get me out of this pickle.
Yeah, that's great, because we do get those quite often. And I think the hard part is they're unusual. That's why, you know, if people ask the same question all the time, it becomes easy. But when someone throws something at you, it's good to know how to respond without getting your back up or saying something ridiculous in response.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's really, it can be one of those make or break points in a relationship where you can either plant a bitter seed, which you may never be able to recover from, or you could, you know, really pivot the conversation in a real, a positive direction.
Okay. We're going to check that out for sure. So you talk about a power skill called RAP, or R-A-P. What is that?
That is resilience, agility, and problem solving. You know, there we have an entire acronym we use for the performance power skills, which you can use throughout your career, whether in sales or other places, and of course in life. But, you know, when you really are looking at those top level skills, That's why I call it the, you know, the performance wrap, you know, that resilience, agility, and problem solving. Because, and all of these skills are just like anything else in life, they can be learned, right? So think about resilience. We learned that all the way through growing up, from the time we were babies and we were cruising along the sofa and then we flipped over and fell. You know, did that stop us from getting back up and trying it again and then eventually walking like Frankenstein? No, we had the resilience to get back up, right? It's the same thing with, you know, and there are ways that you can learn that. And it's really about adopting a growth mindset and knowing that I like to think of myself as a learn-it-all. And so if there's something that I'm not good at, like when I first started this part of my whole career, I felt very uncomfortable in front of the camera or doing videos, really not live, but recorded videos. And I was like, okay, let's add a brick to my self-limiting beliefs that I'm not an actress. I don't know how to do this. Well, then with an affirmation, I said, well, I'm going to take that brick right back down. I'm going to pry it off. And what did I do? I started creating an affirmation for myself. I said every morning, which is, this is a skill that I can learn. Okay. I'm never going to be Anne Hathaway, you know, or whomever. That's okay. But I can learn this skill and I can be, you know, okay at it because perfection is overrated. I just need to be solid. And that in itself is such a freeing, empowering moment. And sure enough, in a pretty short time, I had completely changed my mindset. I'm going, okay, yeah, keep working on it, keep working on it. I've gotten better and better. I'm still not where I'd like to be, but I'm going to keep working on it. I do much better live.
You know, that's funny you mentioned that. I've always been the same way. I'm more comfortable speaking live than recording. And when I used to do a monologue podcast, I would re-record it 20, 30 times. But I don't know, something about the fear of it's permanent, or I don't know what it was, but I was able to get past it. And I think the way you describe affirmations is perfect. A lot of people think you just say, I'm a superstar, I'm a movie star, over and over. I don't think that works because part of your brain's going, that's not true. But if you say, it is possible for me to get better at this, or I am taking actions to make myself better at this, that's believable. And if you keep repeating that to yourself, it's going to come true.
Yeah. There are certain things about affirmations that there's why they're so powerful. And there's a couple tricks. Mm. One is to make sure that you limit how many that you're working on at a time. I keep it at that magic three. And then second thing is it needs to be attainable, you know, and remember, you're not going to learn like public speaking. I used to be really way back in the day, you know, fearful of public speaking or nervous around it. Mm-hmm. I was great one-on-one with clients or very small client groups, but I got more nervous when I had to speak to a whole room. But there's incremental steps that you can take, once again, to learn that skill. And eventually I was at the point where I'd be at a huge conference, wasn't even planning to speak, and I'd have, you know, someone come up and say, we ended up where we've got a gap of extra time. We need you to get up there and talk for 15 minutes. And I'm going like, and they give me 5 minutes notice. And I'm going like, wah, wah. And it's like, okay, wait a minute. I can do this, you know, and get up there and talk. Right. But it wasn't like I did that overnight. It took a while to get there. So make an incremental step. And some things you can take in one step, but other things, you know, keep that incremental step. And then my third tip is to say it out loud in the morning, first thing that when you get up. And I actually use one every day because it frames my day. And that is, there are so many things I get to do today, because that gives me the control. I get to do them. Mm-hmm. And rather than the overwhelm, like, oh my gosh, there's so much I have to do. Instead, there's so many things I get to do. I had the privilege and the honor of being able to do these things. And so that pushes that. That's that growth mindset. It's like, I have control. I can do this. Mm-hmm. I can make this happen. And so that's that. Those are some of my other tips on affirmations, because I'm really quite passionate about how they really do serve you.
Right. That's awesome. So I grew up as an introvert. I was even shy when I was much younger. I have two daughters and two stepdaughters, and three out of four of them are real introverts. And I would love to be able to tell them, why is it important to speak up more? I don't mean become like mouthy and you know, speak up out of turn, but I mean like speak up more. Why is that important? And how do we help them to learn how to do that?
Yeah. So once again, it's sort of like incremental steps, you know, pushing themselves outside of their comfort zone. And a great place to start would be reading Carol Dweck's Mindset. I mean, it is like, it's sort of like the, you know, the Bible of growth mindset work. It's an easy read, but everything, that's a one step that you can do that can help you sort of think through that. There's a lot of different growth mindset exercises that you can do that will help you. We actually have a class, a course for people who are really, who've really taken that to another level of self-imposter syndrome. Or not, you know, where they've just got so many self-limiting beliefs. They don't feel they deserve a seat at the table. That can be really helpful. And we go through a lot of those techniques there, and provide exercises and worksheets. But to get back to your point, ultimately you have to be able to get comfortable with being uncomfortable, and you have to push yourself in small ways. And the reason ultimately, the reason why is not only is it better for you to be able to voice your thoughts and your feelings, because of the emotional release, it's actually a healthy, much better, healthy way for you to live. But the other thing is that people actually want to hear your thoughts and opinions. They matter. It's important because the people around you that maybe they work with you and they think that they want to be able to work effectively with you or to do things that help you. Because then, you know, in turn, you're going to do things to help them. I mean, it's like we're all rowing in the same direction. The people that you care about, they want to do things that, you know, when it comes to your birthday or doing something special for you, they want to make sure it matters to you. And if they don't, if you don't speak up and talk about those things, they're not going to know. They're going to, I had a friend, Judy, and this is really sort of a funny off topic thing, but she was also very retiring and shy. And she bought herself this sheep thing at one point in time. And so her mom decided that she loved sheep. Her mother gave her sheep things for her birthday, for Christmas, for any kind of thing ever moving forward. I mean, at one point when, you know, we're out of college and graduate school and we're, you know, in our houses, I mean, her whole house had sheep things. I mean, she had sheep hand towels. She had sheep. Every ornament on the tree was like sheep. I mean, there were sheep everywhere, sheep clothing, you know, and it was, she never had the nerve to tell her mother when we were in like grade school, high school type that, well, I thought this one sheep thing was cute, but I don't love sheep. And she, it ended up becoming like her thing, these sheep everywhere. But, you know, if she had just said to her mom, like, hey, you know, this just isn't really what I like. And she's like, I don't want to hurt her feelings. And it's like, you know, honestly, your mom would rather spend the money on something you really want than having it just sit there in the closet with the brand new tags on it, you know, with a sheep sweatshirt. And it's not hurting their feelings. It's like, because you can phrase it in a different way. Gosh, I'm so glad you spent such time and care picking this out, something that you know, really wanted me to like. And it's just that it's not quite my thing, but I am so appreciative of, you know, the love and tenderness that you showed to, you know, to pick this out for me. But, you know, I thought it would be maybe really fun if we went out together and exchanged it and spent the day and picked something new out, had lunch, took a walk, did something fun, you know, and then it's like, you know, of course somebody's going to lean into that. Absolutely. Yeah, let's do this.
Yeah, you make it totally positive. Do you know what happened to all the sheep stuff? What ended up happening?
She still has sheep things everywhere. It is really, it did become like her thing.
She could probably do an online business.
I don't know.
Or something, you know, selling.
You know, she actually, she with me got our Girl Scout cookie badges. The only two in our district because... I hauled her with me. She's my best friend. I was determined to get this exclusive badge. I didn't realize I had a sales calling that early in life. I hauled her around everywhere to sell cookies, you know. And she was always the one that was, you know, handing them out and stuff. And I'm the one hawking them. And she's collecting the money. But she got that special badge with me because I hauled her everywhere.
Nice. Really nice. So how do we quickly and easily improve our sales outreach to shorten the sales cycle? Because one of the things we want to do, and if we're productive, want to shorten that cycle if we can.
Yeah.
Get more sales and give it a amount of time.
Yeah. So it really comes down to three things. One is having developed a solid sales strategy, you know, and mapping all that out, mapping out your cadence and your plans, creating the materials, templates, things that you can use so it's not a robot, but it's personalized. And when you're doing that, that requires answering the customer why through the different phases and really understanding that. It's sort of like mapping your customer journey and really getting into their head. And follow up, you know, effective follow up at those right moments. And with the types of materials that are appropriate for that phase of the sale.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Excellent. So what advice do you have when we get into a situation and we realize that the person we're talking to has a completely different opinion from us? What do we do? Do we fight? Do we leave? Do we try to compromise? How do you do it?
You know, the fight, flight, or freeze. No, you want to actually respond with finesse. So, because this is something common at work and sales in life. And the very first place that you need to be at for your mindset is that just because someone has a different opinion does not mean they're wrong. Okay, you've got to let go of that, right? This black and white, right and wrong. That is like the worst place that you can go. Okay. The second thing is that you want to understand why, you know, like, tell me more, help me understand. Someone else could have a very different approach. They could be looking at it a very different way. So at one point, you know, I was selling big, big corporate programs. And so I'm working with IT, I'm working with customer service, I'm working with the account management team, you know, we've got finance. I mean, we got all these different departments coming together to work through the program execution, implementation, whatever it happens to be. And, you know, so IT is saying, well, we can't do this. Well, what's really interesting is that you need to lean in, and it's like, well, the customer wants it this way. You know, it's like, no, wait, they've got a perspective that they are bringing to this that you need to hear. And so sometimes it's like, if we make the decision tree this complicated, the whole thing's going to break and the customer is not going to be happy. So they're mitigating the risk. And so it's like, all right, so you understand what their goal is, what the customer's trying to achieve in this process. How do we make that happen? And so you bring them into the conversation. And so once again, you use these tools, you know, tell me more. And you use that powerful pause to actively listen and hear what they're saying. You know, watch your body language. If you're coming into the meeting like this, you've already lost. Okay. And you want to watch their body language to see if they start to relax. Because that is the same thing. And you can see them opening up. You want them engaged in the solution. And when you're listening to them, then that opens them up so that they're going to listen to your perspective, and that you can find there is always middle ground. There's always common ground. And sometimes that does mean that, well, we can't quite do it this way, but we can do it that way. You can call that a compromise if you want. But you can find the solution so everyone wins, because that is what you're really looking for. You're looking for that active engagement. You're looking for people who know that you're not going to shut them down, that you're going to listen, you're going to hear what they have to say, and you're going to actually consider it. And then you're going to pull from that, because there's always the good, the bad, and the ugly on that side. And there are things that are actually you need that are good. Okay.
Yeah, I totally agree with you, because the fight or flight or freeze response kicks in when we sense a confrontation. So just relaxing, being open-minded, and asking them to elaborate tends to make people relax a little bit.
Absolutely, yeah.
And then I think once we're relaxed, then we can come to a solution. If we're emotional and tense, it's really hard to come to a solution that isn't fighting or taking off.
Yeah.
Right? So that's great. That's really great. Lynn, how do you prepare, lead, and communicate your points for a meeting or presentation?
Well, I mean, this is that, like, you talking about the client why, the customer why. You really need to get out of your own way. At a right. point where you're at a presentation, they've already done the research about your company, your product or service. You would not be at the table if you weren't actively being considered for the solution and you know, whatever it is that you're selling. And that could also be true if you're making a presentation at work about a way to you know, execute a program, right? So therefore, you know, when you think of that customer why, now get out of your own way. They don't need to hear about the company and what's going on in their world. And how is your product or service going to benefit them so they can? You've got to get to that so they can. And you've also got to answer the so they can for everyone in the room. Because as I said, different stakeholders, especially in big B2B sales, relationship sales, there are many people in that decision-making process. And although ultimately one person makes a decision to move forward, or there's a consensus, you have to make sure that everyone is on board and that you've answered their why, at least in a way like, well, you know, this isn't really what I would choose, but, you know, it's going to work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes sense. So you said you have some material on being a guest on a podcast. this is my 226th interview, and I've been on about four or five podcasts. I want to go up more because I find I get a lot more new listeners to this show when I go on other shows, but I don't have a ton of experience. So could you share a couple of tips with us about the best way to prepare for an interview?
Yeah. All right. So there's a couple of different things. So we have like a 12-step before and after process. And so the 12 steps before, I mean, I'll just highlight some of them. They're not going to be in order. but one of the important things that you need to do is you need to think about the topics that you can discuss. And so I go on, I mean, I do topics like this is more of a business sales related topic, but I talk about things in life. I talk about really niche topics within sales or business. And so you really want to develop like what are the core topics that you can discuss. And also when you go outside of a specific lane, like a sales lane, and you're on different types of shows, then a whole new batch of listeners get to tune in, right? And hear you.
Yeah.
So you want to think outside of the box in that sense. So I've got a really good example. And that's if you're an author and you write mystery, cozy mystery novels, right? But your cozy mystery character, your main protagonist, she's a domestic diva, you know, and she also runs her own event planning business. So you could actually do things where you could go on shows that talk about, event planning. You could go on shows that feature authors. You could go on shows that feature mystery authors. You could go on shows that talk about, you know, throwing a fantastic dinner party and how to pull them all together for your family and friends, right? I mean, so the thing is, you sort of think outside the box because the books that you write are going to appeal to all these different types of people. And then, you know, so you really develop that. The other thing is to create a media sheet. And so this is really about you, about the topics that you can discuss. It's got all your social media links. It's a single sheet, single page. It's got everything that somebody needs. You got mine, I think, so you know. Right? But it's got all the vital stats so that when you have to make it, you've got to do the heavy lifting to make it easy for the host. Okay.
Right.
I also include a link that has all my high res images so they can pick and choose what they want to use. But it's all in a single sheet. So super easy. Everything is also cloud based so they can access what they need from anywhere in the world. So doing that, putting it on your website so people can find it. You know, so, and then sign up for some guest directories. I really like Podmatch and I also use podcast guests and I haven't really gone outside of those, but I have some others that I can recommend that I'm planning to do. They're on my list. What's not on the list, right? But that's a great way for people to find you. The other thing is to look at, you know, because you've done some research, what are the types of shows that you might want to be on? And, you know, and then if you're going to pitch to them, how are you going to pitch to them? So you want to make sure that you've listened to at least a few of their episodes, that you've gone through and looked at their last 10 to 20 episodes and what they've, the conversations they've had, and come up with something new and fresh that's in your wheelhouse that you can pitch that they haven't discussed yet, because they're, people are always looking for a fresh content. And then also just that same thing, you know, you want to, you're answering their why do they want you to be on their, your, why do they want you to come on their show? And when you have done a couple shows, you can also provide links to some shows that people can answer. You know, so obviously I'm sort of energized whenever I'm on a show. So if somebody really hates that style, then they're not going to want to have me on their show. So usually that isn't an issue.
Right. Right. But, no, it's great. It's awesome.
But, you know, and you can also go through and are they, and you can watch, are they constantly trying to hawk whatever they have? Well, if they are, then nobody wants to hear that. People are tuning into these shows because they have a growth mindset. They want to hear some kind of tip, something that they can apply right now today. So that they can make, their sales, their life at work, their life at home better. Right. And so that's what you want to be providing. So you go through all those different things. And then after you are a guest on the show, you want to bring that passion and energy to the show. You want to be, show up on time. You want to be ready to go. And you also want to be promoting the show. You can promote as soon as you get booked. I usually wait until I've done the interview before we start promoting, because there are times where a show gets canceled. I mean, I've had hosts decide that they're no longer doing the interview format. I mean, this has happened literally less than one handful of times, but it does happen. So I've sort of learned to wait until after the interview to promote it. The other thing is some hosts are really slow about getting their shows out. So that's the other thing is that's another modification I made, is I really make sure, like, well, when does it look like it's going to be going out, and how organized were they going before and after, you know, before, because like you are so organized and everything's really tightened up that I know that the whole end back end process is going to be just as good. So, in sales, that's another thing that just shows you the level of, capability and the competence and the people that you're working with, that you can trust them, right? So anyway, that's sort of a side note. So then you go through that, and then you can promote the show before the interview's been published. Once it is published, you want to share it far and wide. You want to get it out there. You want to be tagging them. You want to put it on your own website, because it becomes a very valuable social proof, okay? I've had people come and on our show, and they go, I cannot believe how many things you've done. I'm just blown away, you know, because like I go through multiple pages and just keep scrolling. And it's like, well, that's thought leadership. That's getting my name out there. People stumble upon me, all those little spiders, and it all helps. Yep. And then using a tool like Canva to create graphics. A lot of times what we do is we have consistent graphics that we've already pre-designed, and then we can drop the content in. So you can literally have, you know, your Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and LinkedIn graphics done, in, you know, 30 minutes tops, you know, because of course, you know, you reformat them, but, some people can be super fast. I'm probably more methodical, you know, and then you're using a tool like Hootsuite, or your team members are, and then they're getting it out there, you know, they're getting it all scheduled. Yeah. And you can create a couple different versions so that you can post it at different times, because things go into people's feeds at different times. You can put it in your newsletter, yada, yada, because your own audience wants to hear about, you know, the success that you're having and hear what you're doing. And that also reinforces why they're tuning into you and why they're following you. So it makes this really beautiful thing at the end. Yeah. And I've really got it down in a process that it takes 3 hours total for me and my team for me to be a guest on a show.
Wow.
And that's the time from the initial connection to doing the show, which is the biggest chunk of time, and then promoting the show. Because once again, we've thought everything through. We've got templates built. We customize the templates, of course, for the response. You know, it's not robo response. You're not getting into a drip campaign. But templates mean that I can copy and paste it and throw out an email thanking you or sharing it, like with our newsletter. I have a template I use that it's just literally 5 to 10 minutes and it's done. So templates are so powerful, and it's really important that in sales and in everywhere else that you really use those for your business and keep them in a really logical way so that everyone also on the team can access them and use. So anyway, that took way longer.
That's okay. I agree. I love checklists and I love templates, and I think they're so great for efficiency. Because you're not spending all this time going, did I forget something? Do I have to do something else? And you waste a lot of mental bandwidth trying to figure out what you forgot. And so I wanted to press you on something. You said some hosts take a really long time. Now, without mentioning any names, of course, what do you consider as a frequent guest to be a really long time or a reasonable amount of time?
Well, we're talking here in June. We're talking in June of 2021, just for reference. I have interviews that I did in October of 2020 that have not been published. I think that's a really long time. I think 3 months is great. I mean, that's sort of like, that's like after it gets it past 3 months, then it starts getting into like, this is getting really old. One month is really fast. It's sort of like about 60 days for a lot of times when you're on a show. And that's the other thing is you can sort of start to plan that and think about that. So if you are, like, say you wrote, you know, like when I put my new book out, you know, which is really getting close, but we'll be planning out a whole cadence so that I can be on shows to promote the book before it goes out. Now, obviously, I'll still have regular conversations, but at the end, I'll point people to the book so that they can. But you know, it's such a great topic. It's a lot of fun too, and so that's one of the things that you can plan out. So if you are creating something really cool, you can start to plan out, well, how can we really pre-promote this? So like the masterclass that I put together and we filmed, and then we did all the editing to do the videos, et cetera. You know, I got an article out, an article on other sources. I did some other podcast interviews about being a great podcast guest, you know, to grow your business. And we created different tools that people could use. And we started to sort of float those. Like I love process maps. Like, how are we going to get from A to B, you know, and then mapping that out. It's really important. Just like in sales, you know, understanding your customer journey, that is a process map. That can be really complicated though. But working through those things is really important. And then you can plan for that. And then you can really get, your biggest bang.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Planning is key to really get the most out of the situation.
Yeah. Everything in life comes down to, you know, that planning.
Yeah. Do you, Linton, ever get tough questions? And if so, how do you handle those and keep your cool?
Well, they're sort of like that pickle, right? once again, I mean, they're tough questions come up all the time. I mean, they can be in business where your team has completely failed on something. And it's like, why did this happen? And it's like, well, because we were idiots. Well, no, I mean, but it's like because we had like multiple failures. You know, first of all, you know, it's important to once again is, you know, to remember that the other person is another human being. You know, do not respond with emotion. I mean, that's the worst thing that you can do. Really need, and if you need to take that moment to pause and to consider, and say, can you, you know, tell me more, help me understand. Help me understand is often a really common, you know, like if, you know, somebody's trying to put you on the spot about something, help me understand. I want to, and leaning in, I want to understand how, this impacted you. This is a really common thing, like for customer repair. emotional. It's like when something goes sideways, you have to perform emotional repair as part of that process, because we're dealing with people, with human beings. They have feelings. They could be frustrated. They could be angry. They could feel betrayed because you let them down and you look bad for your to your boss, right? So you've got to let them voice those opinions or those feelings and emotions so they can process them. And then when you don't, that bitter seed is planted. So these types of difficult conversations are where you need to approach it from the perspective that they have something important that they need to communicate. And maybe they're coming across really aggressively. But once again, be mindful of your body language. Be leaning into the conversation. Don't respond like tone for tone. Instead, calm it down, but in a way that's respectful. All right. And say, I hear what you're saying. But can you, I really want to understand, what's going on from your perspective, because this is important. So right there, you're giving them that affirmation that you're listening, and, repeat back something like, I understand that this really impacted how you felt that you looked to your boss, that because we failed to deliver this on time, that put you on the spot, and then you'll find that they start to relax, and honestly, if they just can't get down off of that really high negativity, whichever form it takes, they can't channel it into a more neutral or even positive territory. Ultimately, that's your goal, is to get it to a positive territory. Then sometimes you just have to step away and say, be very respectful. I want to discuss this more, but right now for me, I need to process this first part of the discussion, and I need to step away so I can go through it. Can we get back together after lunch? Can we meet tomorrow? What's going to be convenient? And then do exactly that and step away. At the end of the day, you really want to do everything you can to show that you respect them, that you're leaving them with their dignity. Yes. Because that is really what it's all about, is treating everyone with that dignity and respect.
For sure. Yeah, I've had to break up with clients in the past. It's not very often.
Yeah.
But whenever I had a feeling like I did everything I could and I stayed calm, I feel much less bad about it. Sometimes some relationships just aren't meant to happen.
Yeah.
But if I'm second guessing myself and I say, I wish I stayed a little more calm, I wish I didn't say that, I wasn't really prepared, then that's when you start to get into a cycle of, you start to blame yourself. So I love your material, because it's all about being prepared for all kinds of scenarios, being effective, being efficient. So it's really great.
Yeah. That human element. I really want to, I know that I just said one other thing is, when you're talking about that, that's so important, is that, we all have times when it is important to walk away, and it could be a friendship or a relationship or a personal or business. But when we've made that 110% effort to work through it, you just don't have the regret. You may have some little, I'm sorry that didn't work out, but it's like guilt-free, blame-free. You know that you did everything that you could to try to work through it. And you also created a way for them that if they, that you, the olive branch is still there. I don't burn bridges. And even with people I have no intention of ever working with again, and there's, once again, less than a handful, I can think of one right away because they were basically dishonest. I totally went outside of my professional ethics code. And so for them, though, they have actually reached out a few times. I'm always respond with kindness and push them away. So respect, dignity, kindness, and I move on.
Makes sense. Totally makes sense. So you have a great website. It's called futureforwardsales.com. Tell us what we can find there.
Well, I mean, we've gone over a few of the things. So there's, we've got the, yeah. the how to, you know, the pickle. We've got the great mm-hmm. masterclass on how to be a great podcast guest and leverage your business growth, you know. And I've also mm-hmm. got a page for sales tips. We've got some great articles. Gives you information about me. You also have access if you want to schedule your own quick strike call to talk to me about your sales strategy. And we also provide sales training. So we take customers through that entire, for their whole team, really to bring them together and do, you know, team building, but also that whole sales process. And then we do the same thing with strategic development for their sales and then consulting.
Awesome. Lynn, that's a ton of great content. You shared so much with us today in just a short amount of time. I really appreciate it. Thank you very much for coming on.
Well, Luke, it was a pleasure. And thank you so much for having me on. And watch out for that Ogopogo.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Newtown Big Dreams podcast with your host, Luke Menkes, and his authentic guests. And we love our listeners and hope you subscribe now to learn more about the amazing journeys of our incredible guests who relocated to find a new town, big dreams. And remember, make your dreams big.